Hi, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Becker's Healthcare podcast series. I'm Laura Dierda, Editor-in-Chief of Becker's Healthcare. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Anna Singh, Vice President of Clinical Training and Development at Heartland Dental. Dr. Anna Singh joined Heartland Dental as a newly graduated supported doctor and built her practice from 7 chairs to an 18-chair facility. Today, she leads clinical efforts across the Heartland Dental Network by partnering with operations to support the growth and success of doctors and their teams. As Vice President of Clinical Training and Development, she is responsible for all clinical and professional education available to support dentists and their teams. She oversees the development and execution of over 1,600 hours of CE, including in-person events, hands-on workshops, virtual study clubs, and regional events. Her team consists of developers, scanner trainers, and clinical directors who specialize in topics like aesthetics, clinical leadership, lasers, scanners, implantology, endodontics, strategic clinical initiatives, general dentistry, and clear aligner therapy. Dr. Singh received her DMD from the University of Pennsylvania and is a recipient of the International Dentist Award. In addition, she was valedictorian of her graduating class at Punjab Government Dental College and Hospital. Dr. Singh, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk to a wider group of audience right here.
Well, fantastic. I'm excited for this conversation. I think, you know, we'll have some great information for our audience and it'll really be informative. Now, with that, let's jump right into our first topic of conversation. How did you get your start in dentistry?
Oh, well, that's a great question, you know. I was born and raised in India, and, you know, as growing up in India, it was interesting because when I was growing up and I just finished my high school, you usually end up with two options. Either you join the medical field or you join engineering and forever. So I knew I wanted to do something in medicine for sure. I made up my mind, but really medicine was sort of like, okay, I want to be a neurosurgeon. You know, that was sort of my desire, but somehow medical school didn't quite work out. And I did get the opportunity to join the dental school over there. And I think the reason I said yes, you know, when you think you have to be open, positive about things that opportunities that come your way, it did fulfill my desire to help others. I think that's really why I wanted to be in the medical field and be able to do something with my hands and my skills to be able to change somebody's life. So I thought that, well, check mark, it's not medicine, but dental would still help me satisfy those things. And above all, I wanted to be independent, financially independent growing up. And I think that's something, a skill that my parents had already sort of instilled in me, that you need to be an independent woman for sure. So I think thinking about those things, you definitely ended up being a check mark. And just joining dental school, I also, the innate desire of being more creative, I satisfied that. I found that out later. It was great going to dental school back in India and then learning a lot of additional skills. And I did graduate with academic honors for academic excellence. And then getting married, all of the things that came through after that came to the States. And it wasn't like a straightforward path either. I did not know anybody that was even remotely concerned with the dental field or the medical field. Coming to a new country, really trying to figure out my path of saying, what do I want to do next? There were multiple choices even at that time. Either I could be a dental assistant, I could be a hygienist, or go back to dental school and try to be a dentist. I definitely knew that I wanted to be a dentist. I loved what I did, so that was an easy way. Then I started applying for dental schools, and getting into a dental school as an international student is very competitive. And thankfully, many schools accepted me, so that was a good call out there. So I ended up going to University of Pennsylvania School of Dental Medicine in Philadelphia. And I really thoroughly enjoyed. I think it was a school that challenged me in my skill sets, that skills that I already walked into the school with, plus also developing the social skills of how dentistry is performed in a different culture entirely. So I think with those two skills, I did feel pretty well versed graduating from there, that I could practice dental medicine in a new environment for sure. but finding a job wasn't easy either. You know, you graduate, you're all excited about it. Going and finding a job. My husband was actually in Nashville, Tennessee, and coming to the South as a person of color, job wasn't that easy to find. And thankfully, I did get an opportunity from Heartland Dental, that our founder, Dr. Rick Workman, invited me up in Effingham. And I was really scared going to Effingham because I didn't know where this place even existed. And thankfully, I ended up meeting him. And truly what brought me into Heartland was so much his vision of dentistry, what dentistry needed to be, and how he truly wanted to help clinicians do the best and help the communities that we were serving in. And you will see that in the mission statement as well, what Heartland does. And I think that vision, I bought into his vision and thought that this was going to be the right place for me to actually practice my skills. So that's, I think, a little bit longer version of your first question of how I really truly got started in dentistry. And I've loved every bit of it and feel challenged every day as dentistry is changing constantly.
That's a fascinating career journey, and really, you know, coming from where you had intended to be in medical school and then switching to dentistry and then coming to the United States and deciding, you know, to go to dentistry school again and finding a place to practice and being hired and just really, you know, accelerating there. I feel like that's an amazing story and such a testament to your own grit in order to do what you want to do and deliver type of services that are really impactful for communities. So that's amazing. Thank you so much, Dr. Singh. Now, what challenges did you overcome as a female leader in that what was at the time a profession, you know, dominated by male in dentistry?
Yeah, I think that it's so true. We have moved, exciting to see now dental schools having more and more female graduating classes, which is super exciting right now. But I would say when I came into there are three main things that kind of sort of stood out for me as I was a female leader coming into this, or a female dentist or a female professional coming into, just let's say female professional. A part of it was probably like the culture piece that I talked about, you know, coming from a different culture, how leaders were looked upon here, or does my title give me the leadership options, or I really tried to help be that person. And I think that was the first challenge that I experienced was how the cultural shift of how people see me. And even if you walk into a dental practice, I'm talking about 20 years ago, people probably look for a male person to be the dentist, and you were really taken as female. You're either a dental assistant or a hygienist, sort of like people box you as because you're a female. Are you really leading an office? And then the other thing that I walked into was as a female leader, as a young female dentist joining that, I had people that were working on my team that were probably even older than me. So how do you command respect or even be that leader for them when you are sort of like timid, trying to find out your place in that space? So, or you're one of the girls. So I think those were some of the major challenges. Like I really truly had to work on myself in order to overcome the challenge of I can't be one of the girls, but I still need to be kind, compassionate, be the leader who listens to their team. So yes, it was definitely one of the other challenges. And the last but not the least, I would say, as I started to do things beyond my practice, it's finding your voice. It's truly finding your voice to be heard. And there are many instances that I can go back and think is like, I would say, I said that like a year ago, and this guy just tells you right now, and you feel like, oh my God, this is exactly what we were talking about. So I think as a female leader, I see you shaking your head too. It's true. I mean, you sometimes in this, it is, especially in that leadership, we see very few females crossing that barrier of having, whereas in a male-dominated leadership positions of in dentistry, where you are trying to find your voice and people are ready to listen to you. That's taken a while. And I think I constantly still work on it. Those are some of the things that you feel as a female leader. I don't think it's dentistry, it's any unique. It's probably throughout as a female professional, if you're going to male dominated professions, you will tend to see that.
Absolutely, I think that's a great point. And like you said, dentistry being one of those professions, hopefully leaders like yourself and others are encouraging women to take on these roles, become dentists, and become leaders in the field as well. I know that's happening and it's exciting to see. I'm wondering, from your perspective, what are three characteristics that you feel are important for female leaders in dentistry to possess?
Oh, that's a great question. And I feel it starts with you, who you are as a person. I think you constantly have to work on ourselves. Like, I think invest in yourself, believe in yourself. When I say invest in yourself is education never ends or learning never ends. And you have to be a constant learner. You might be learning more of a technical skill at one stage of your life. And when you are moving around different stages of your life, invest in your leadership skills, whether you're listening to great podcasts, reading great books. Those are the things I feel really made a difference, like investing in myself, and find people who would mentor you. I have seen a lot of the great guys in the organization and where I was were ready to mentor me, were had the hand in the back, get a coach. They always say, you know, even the best of the tennis players have coaches. And that's how you become great, is you constantly have a coach in place that's giving you sort of, as you maneuver through different stages of your lives, to have somebody who can help you coach in the right direction. And honestly, sometimes you just have to ask the other person, hey, I see something that you could definitely help me. And you would be surprised how many people are willing to help you. That's one I would say, believe in yourself. And I think the second piece is so important, is be 100% committed. Be committed to what you're doing. And as females, we find it very hard, that because it's a constant juggle and a struggle between managing your, either your wife, your girlfriend, or a parent, you're managing all those things in the air. No matter what, you're going to be the mom. No matter what, you will be the wife. You might, no matter what, you will be the girl. How do you do that? And, you know, I heard this podcast a while back from one of the CEOs of PepsiCo, Indra Nooyi was her name. And she said something, you know, we can't have it all. We just have to figure out how to manage and balance all of that to have that 100% commitment and not have the guilt. And those are the things that have sort of like stuck to me. So that guilt, leaving that guilt behind and feeling that I'm doing the best that I can do and still be able to and build a good family structure around you, or community around you, friends and families that can help you in the time of need. So I would say commitment is very important. Believing in yourself. And last but not the least is build good teams around yourself. Because no matter what, your success in life will come from the people that you're surrounded by. And if you surround yourself with good people and invest in others who are helping to grow your business, or helping to grow your practice, or helping to grow your, if you are a coach of a team. So if you're surrounded by good people and you're investing that in them as much as you're investing yourself, you will certainly be very successful in life. So bring people along, is that what I would say. Those are the three probably main things that have caused for me to be successful. And I hopefully this, by sharing by this, people can take some of these things and apply in their life.
Absolutely. I love all of those ideas, especially thinking about building the team around yourself professionally and personally, just making sure that you've got that support system, because I think you're right. You know, so many times we don't always have that as our initial reaction to when we're having struggles or right. Feel like we're overwhelmed. So that's amazing advice. And I know first thing you mentioned was looking at continuing your growth, development, education. Were there any books or podcasts that have been pivotal for you during that time?
I think I read a lot of books. Books were very important. For Good to Great was one book that I read, has always stayed with me. There's books about 21 Laws of Irrefutable Leadership by John Maxwell. Leaders Eat Last. There's many books, but I think I read more books than listened to podcasts. Recently, I've started got into podcasts and I've been listening to Brené Brown, and I've found her to be very, very influential too. I think she is really helping me, I would say, in full transparency and being more vulnerable. As leaders, we forget how important it is for us to be vulnerable, and the vulnerability piece coming in, I think, was, it's about courage, right? So how do you build that courage to be vulnerable and still be people? I think people respect you a lot more if you show that vulnerable side of yourself. And I don't have all the answers, and I probably will never have all the answers, but I surround myself with great people that can get me the answers that we need in order to make good decisions.
Absolutely. More great advice. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Now, could you talk a little bit more about how your role has evolved from a clinician to charting the course for educational offerings for dentists?
Sure. I think they, and you know, I was talking about my introduction too. One of the things that's resonated with me is from our founder, Dr. Workman. He always used to say, the purpose of education is results producing action. So I see education, training, anything that we call as a means for us to deliver that results and our outcome. And I've been sort of being passionate about the training and education piece because it's changed my life. I think it changed my life in many different ways. When I say education truly is power, you know, when you have that, you understand so much better and you can transform not only the life of the clinician, but the people that surround the clinician, the team of people that surround the clinician, the patients that are benefiting from the skill sets that a clinician has, whether you're a dentist or a doctor. I mean, you have a set of skill sets that benefit so many people. So I feel education and training was very close to my heart from the very beginning. It's not been an easy journey. So being from a coming from a clinical world to becoming somebody different and not practicing clinically, it definitely was a journey, was a transformation. But I think it was a welcome transformation in my world because I felt like I had reached a plateau where I was able to help so many individuals. But in my current role, I'm able to help 10 times, 100 times more as many I was able to touch and help at doing that. So for me, that's pay it forward. I'm able to pay it forward by changing my role and what I do, what I did in my clinical practice to what I do today. And really be able to even get that 30,000 foot view where I'm able to make good decisions on both sides, business and clinical decisions. So I'm wearing two hats many times where, I feel like I'm the translator from the organization where some business decisions are making to the clinical world so that we are able to understand the impact of our patient care. I think for our organization that I work for, Heartland Dental, it's so important that patient care is always at highest quality. So how do you do that while being the voice? And so I'm sort of see myself as the voice of the dentist kind of translating into the business world. So it's my world is beyond just the clinical and training because clinical and training impacts our vendors, impacts our KOLs, key opinion leaders, impacts so many other things that we do every single day. And truly are able to make a difference in the financial outcomes of the company as much as we are making difference in patients' lives. Think about getting something done in a dentist's office in 5 minutes or getting something done in 30 minutes, that same procedure. So if we are able to create efficiency, we're able to create higher skill set level, for a clinician. And that's really what my goal is through this transition. So through the transition, definitely it required to evolve myself too. Not just now I was thinking at a much different scale, not just from the practice that I was in with 18 chairs, but from a practice with we support over 1,000 supported practices. So it was a different scale. So I had to improve my skill set too. So we said, you know, never stop learning. So I basically implemented some of the things that I just spoke about to get to my new role to be able to help the organization.
Got it. That's fantastic. And, you know, your mindset through that and being able to bring others up to be able to grow and develop just seems really, really key and a focal point for how your career has developed. Now, what else do you attribute your success to?
I feel like, you know, it takes a village to raise somebody like me. So I feel there are so many people that have impacted my success. I will first go with my parents. I think my parents truly instilled in me the idea of nothing is beyond what you dream or achieve. Like you can achieve whatever you wish to achieve. Sky's the limit. So that, you know, that kind of a thinking about giving the empowerment to a child early on to say, you can go do whatever you wish to do if you're passionate about it. I think that was the first attribute that I would say has been important for my journey. And then having great mentors, like I said before, great mentors and coaches, they're people that have impacted me tremendously to where I feel you have to be very open. So if you think about, you know, what allows you to do that, if you're not open in your mind space for other opportunities or other things, it would be very hard for you to embrace change. So I think embrace change is also one of the other important attributes that you need to have. Change is the only constant. And if you're thinking like that, I think it becomes easier for you to adapt to newer environments, that no matter what you say, you know, your personal environment is changing, my personal or professional environment, or the world is changing. I mean, look at how much the world has changed in about a year and a half. We're virtual now. This probably, Laura, we would be in person having this kind of a conversation. So things have changed so much for all of us. And I think that our tenacity to be adaptable, flexible, and open to change causes our sort of our success denominator as well.
That's a really good point. And, you know, thinking about all of the aspects that go into bringing you to where you are today, it's just fascinating to see that web. Well, this has been a really fantastic discussion. I do have one more question before we wrap things up here. What advice do you have for female dentists just beginning their careers?
Oh, wow. This is a good one. I would say be open to opportunities, because I would have never been a dentist, right? I probably would, if I had really said, well, I just want to be a medical doctor and gone to really pursue that, I would just open to opportunities. You never know what kind of opportunities would come along. Be open, positive, and mentally flexible. I think that captures a lot of the stuff that I've sort of practiced in my life that has caused for us to achieve higher things. And have somebody, a coach or a mentor. I feel like that's another thing that definitely will change your outlook towards how you see things, and be open to feedback. Feedback is the hardest thing when you get from others. And I think that's the best way you can become the better version of yourself. It is hard to hear when people say not such great things about you or some great things about you, you know, but that's how you get better. How are you landing with people? How do people perceive you? So working on yourself probably summarizes to most of that. So if you can do that, I think you will have very successful careers, whatever you choose, medicine, dental, or I would hope it's dental, but whatever you choose would be very successful.
Thank you, Dr. Singh, for your time today and this really great discussion.
Thank you so much and I really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to share some of my thoughts, and I certainly enjoyed our conversation today.
And I'd like to thank Heartland Dental as well for sponsoring this episode. Listeners, you can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.